Vov Nissan, Sunday the 10th of April. This week's Toway Showroom has been sponsored by Men's World of 241 Golders Green Road. By Joey Grunfeld, the lesson from the shank bone.
Okay, good morning. Okay, we're entering the week of Pesach. Al teichlim menu no, o voshel mavushel b'mayim, ki imsli eish. You know, the zroya, the shank bone, it sits at the back of the Seder plate, very humbly. It doesn't get too much spoken about, I suppose because we don't have a Korban Pesach today, but it represents the Korban Pesach. And I would like to analyze the halochas of the Korban Pesach, because I think there are many lessons for us. So, the first halacha of the Korban Pesach is al toichlim menno, that you can't eat it raw or underdone. To put it in a modern context, meat sushi is forbidden for Korban Pesach. Meat sushi, you can't have it. Yeah? Because it has to be roasted. So that's the first halacha, that the Korban Pesach has to be roasted. Secondly, roish al kro val kirvoi, that it has its head and its legs and its innards, it all has to be roasted together as one whole animal, and you can't roast it in parts. If you can take each part by part and roast it, that's forbidden. So you can't do that either. And how is it to be eaten? V'kocho toichlu oisoi, how do you eat it? Mosheichem chagurim na'alechem b'raglechem makelchem b'yedchem, so shall you eat it, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hands. That's the way it has to be eaten. Pardon?
Manishtano.
What about Manishtano?
When did you say that?
When did you say that?
Yeah, no.
I'm not funny.
When did you say Manishtano at this instance?
You didn't say it at that instant. That was part of the wording. We're talking about Achidus Korban Pesach, and I understand what you're saying. I'm talking now about the Maisa Achidus Korban Pesach. The Maisa Achidus Korban Pesach had to be eaten in a certain way. The Haggadah, the story, it was a different mitzvah. Yeah? But now we're talking about Achidus Korban Pesach. So you had to eat it. Loins girded, etc., etc. And how did you eat it? V'achaltem oisa b'chipozoin. You had to eat it swiftly, with speed. So, I'd like to analyze what are the reasons for these mitzvahs. Raw, can't be eaten, has to be cooked, roasted, not cooked, etc., etc. And the method of the way it was eaten, it had to be eaten fast. Now, that's a very big question. Well, what's all the rush? Why do you have to be eaten with speed? I mean, you have to understand, number one, the Klal Yisrael didn't go out until midday the next day. But etzem hayom hazeh. So they went out at midday. So they had all night to eat. That's number one. Number two, there's a halacha v'ish lo yisaitzu mipesach habayis. Mipesach beis haboker, there was an issa to leave the house the whole night. They had to stay in the house all the time, outside, taking place in Machas Bechiras. And they had to distinguish, the Malach HaMovis had to distinguish between a Jewish house and a non-Jewish house. So they had to stay in the house the whole evening. So they were inside, indoors, they didn't leave till the next day. It was in the greatest rush. Bechipozim, you had to eat the Korban Pesach bechipozim. That's number one. In fact, actually, you'll find in the midst of the Pesach a lot of rushing around. A lot of rushing around. Yeah, for example, Shivas Yom Teichel of Matzis. Ki bechipozon yotzosu meisim eis Mitzrayim. The etzim yitzis Mitzrayim was bechipozon. The etzim yitzis was bechipozon. The Klaishim were rushed out by Egypt. They couldn't stand it anymore. So there was a rush to get out. That's why we eat matzah. The matzah, there wasn't a time to bake chametz. Because they were rushed out. So you find a rush, not only in the Mitzvah Achilas Pesach, you find a rush in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you actually find a rush in the baking of matzahs itself. Ushemartem es ha-matzahs. You have to guard the matzahs. And you have to prevent the becoming chometz. That means for the moment the dough hits the water, there's a tremendous rush. We're constantly kneading and kneading it, and we've got 18 minutes in which to put the matzah into the oven. If it's longer than eight, if there's a duration more than 80 minutes, it becomes chametz. So anyone who's been to matzah baking sees the rush it goes on to make sure that the matzah gets into the oven before 80 minutes. So we're rushing baking the matzahs, we're rushing getting out of Egypt, we're rushing eating the Korban Pesach. What's all this rushing about? So let's summarize again. We want to know why it's roasted, why you have to eat it whole, why you have to eat it rushed, why Tzis Mitzrayim was rushed, and why baking the matzahs is also. Seems to be a lot of rushing around. So to understand this, we need to understand our emergence as a nation, as an independent nation. Now Chazal put it in a very beautiful way. Has it ever happened? Has it, one nation ever been taken out from another nation? It's a posuk in Voice Chamam. Say Chazal, the operative word is mikerev. Goy, mikerev, goy. One nation from amongst, from the midst of another nation. What's the word mikerev? And Chazal used an analogy which is very dramatic. This is Chazal. Omar Rab Ava b'shem Rab Acha b'shem Rachonin. Mahu goy mikerev goy. What is this goy mikerev goy? Ka'odam sheshoimet es ha'ubo mime'ei behemo. Kach hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisroel Mitzrayim. Just like as you're showing it, you draw out, you pull out an uber, an animal, a foal or a young calf from the womb of its mother, so the Rabbi Shalom had to schlep out Klal Yisrael from amidst another nation, from the womb of another nation. It's given either Klal Yisrael were emerging from the womb of Mitzrayim. Elsewhere, the Gemara describes the miracle of birth in the following way. What is the Vlad Doime B'meim Imoy? I'm quoting Chazal, Gemara Nida. The matter is like this. You have a piv sosum, v'tipurei posuach, v'oich mimashe imoy cheles. V'kimin sheyotze la'vei ha'olam, niftach hasosum v'nistam ha'posuach. Very dramatic. You have a what happens in birth? You have a complete reversal. While the child is in the womb, the uber is in the womb, the embryo is in the womb. So the piv is sosum, the mouth is blocked, and the umbilical cord is open because the child is being fed through the umbilical cord of the mother. The moment it's yotzum le'ave ha'olam, the moment it emerges into this world, a complete and dramatic reversal takes place. That's the word I was looking for. A reversal takes place. That which was sosum becomes Pesuach, and that which was Pesuach becomes Sosan. The umbilical cord which was Pesuach now shrivels, and the mouth which was closed suddenly becomes open, and the child is able to breathe in by itself. It becomes an independent entity. So if you're looking for an analogy of Klal Yisrael becoming an independent nation, you're talking about a birth of the Ribbono Shel Olam schlepping out a Vlad, as it were, from the womb of Mitzrayim. A sudden reversal. Before they were emerged, they were culturally emerged, they were like submerged culturally into the culture of Mitzrayim. They had no identity of their own. They were totally in the womb of Mitzrayim, and suddenly the Ribbono Shel Olam, in a total reversal, pulled them out from the womb of Mitzrayim, where they were culturally dependent, and they became an independent identity. Until then, they had no identity of their own at all. They were totally submerged. And now they became an entity of their own. The question is, at what point did Klal Yisrael get their own identity? What was the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim? At what point of Yetzias Mitzrayim did this chalos? That's the word I'm looking for. The Chalos Klal Yisrael take place. So I saw the Sif Sechaim, who brings this Chazal, says the point of the Chalos came with the first commandment. Once you have a command, a tzivui from the Ribbono Shel Olam, then you become independent. You've got a new master, as it were. That's your point of independence. Until that point, you submerge, you are an Egyptian, as it were, culturally. The moment you get a tzivui from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that gets you a Chalos of an independent nation. So what was the first mitzvah which Klal Yisrael received when they went out of Mitzrayim? And you'll say, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. I was waiting for you to argue with me, because I was going to say, Kol Pesach, and you would come to me and you'd say, no, it's Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. The answer is, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem was given to Moshe Ba'aron. But the first mitzvah which Klal Yisrael were given was Kol Pesach. And therefore it behoves us to taka analyze the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach, because the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach, with that came the chalulos of an entity of their own. So Korban Pesach takes on a new importance, because with that Klal Yisrael were pulled out of the womb.
When they pushed out.
Yes, they were pushed out. I understand your question. So it's a theory. The Rebbeinu Shlomo pulled them out via push. No, listen to me carefully. The Rebbeinu Shlomo pulled them out. They had to be pulled out, and the method used was a push. I'm not being funny. I'm being very serious. Yes? Because there's no physical pulling out. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is a dimion, it's an idea, it's an analogy. So the analogy is, but they had to be pushed because they had no identity of their own. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo did it by a push, and you'll see why in a second. That's what we're getting at. They were rushed out. That's what we're looking for. Yeah? So now, let's have a look at this Korban Pesach. This Korban Pesach has unique qualities, because it has the trappings of both a Korban Yochid and a Korban Sibyl. As far as the Korban Yochid called, each and every person was chayav to eat the Korban Pesach. It was a mitzvah on each Yochid. In fact, we learn shlichus from Korban Pesach. The idea of shlichus that somebody can do something on my behalf, that's an individual halacha. So mitzvah echod, it's a Korban Yochid. Mitzvah sheni, it had to be eaten in groups, in a chabura. Yeah? That everyone had to come together in groups and eat it. Not only that. The halacha is, it's got all halachas of Korban Sibur. It's toiches ha-shavos. It's toiches ha-tumah. A Korban Pesach, Korban Yochid is not toiches ha-shavos, it's not toiches ha-tumah. Korban Pesach, toiches ha-shavos, toiches ha-tumah. So you see, it has the trappings of a Korban Sibur. Also, you can't make it up. Of a Zmana bottle Korbona, other Korbanos Yochid, for example, Korban Chagiga has tashlumin. Yes? Korban Chagiga has tashlumin. Korban Pesach has no tashlumin. If you miss somebody who's mechuiv, I'm not talking about somebody who's not mechuiv, somebody who's Korban in a Derech Rechoika, he has an opportunity of a Pesach Shein. But somebody who is mechuiv, was mechuiv, and missed his Korban Pesach, he's had it. Of Azmanai bottle Korbona. It's got the trappings of a Korban Sibur and the trappings of a Korban Yochid. Both. And the symbolism is of course, the idea is that from this Korban Pesach you get a glimpse of the makeup of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is made up of individual people. Every one of us is an individual who makes up the nation of Klal Yisrael. At the same time, we have a common purpose. Klal Yisrael are made up of individuals, all who are acting out a common purpose, who are unified by a common purpose, a higher calling of Avodas Hashem. So that's the idea of a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is an individual Korban, which is also Korban Sibur, because as we Klal Yisrael emerge from the womb, we have to have our tachlis delineated for us. We are a nation of individuals with a higher calling. And that is represented by the idea of when we had a Beis HaMikdash, the whole of Klal Yisrael, all individuals come up to Yerushalayim and they're all sacrificing be makriv Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim at the same time. So we have millions of individuals who have an individual identity, at the same time they come together for a higher calling. And this is all in the very first mitzvah which Klal Yisrael are given as a nation, as opposed to our Kodesh Elohim. Because this represents, this is symbolic of who you are. You are emerging from the womb of Mitzrayim, and it's a sudden reversal, which makes you completely diametrically opposed to what they stood for. They stand for one thing, you stand for another, and you're emerging as the Am Hashem. That is what is taking place symbolically behind the Korban Pesach. The question is, though, for what purpose? What are we? Who are we? Why do we need a totally opposite identity? What do we stand for as opposed to what they stand for? And for that we have to go back to basics. Seshlei Ma'amelech. V'hanefesh loy simole. Shlei Ma'amelech says that the nefesh can never be full. The nefesh can never be satisfied. The soul can never be satisfied. Moshel says the Medrash, le'iroini shenosa basmelech. This can be compared to a villager who married a basmelech. Im yovilo kol ma sheba'olam. If he brings her anything in the world, in his world, einam chashum lo, klum. It's nothing to her. Shehi basmelech. She's a basmelech, and he's a villager. Kach ha'nefesh. Ilo avesu lakol madonei oilam einam klum. Lo. If you give all the madonei of the world, it's nothing to the nefesh. Why? Lama? Mepnei shehim inu elyonim. The nefesh comes from another world. From the oilam elyon. And we live in the oilam atachta. We're a different entity to the nefesh. A villager will try and please the princess so he can bring her all the simulated jewellery in the world. Yeah? But she's not going to be happy because she knows the difference between simulated jewellery and real jewellery. And his tastes aren't her tastes. He's a grubber villager and she's a refined princess. So whatever is in his frame of reference will not satisfy her because they come from two different worlds. Likewise, says the Medrash, you can never satisfy the nefesh with a olam hazeh. You bring the nefesh a Ferrari and it will not be happy. Even Coke, I don't know, it's the real thing, maybe that's a very old advert. In my time, Coke was the real thing. No, you remember the advert? If you want the real thing, it's Coke. So even the real thing you give to the nefesh, it will never be satisfied. Because the nefesh comes from a different world. The nefesh is min ha'elyonim, and we are from the tachtonim. The nefesh is a bas melech, and we are nironi. And the more physical we become, the more we frustrate the nefesh. The less refined we are, the more we frustrate the nefesh. The more refined we are, the more we come closer to the nefesh. But we all, whatever refinement we have is a refinement which is limited to this world. So you can get something which is more refined. In my world of this world, if I was to look for something which is refined, you'll excuse me, I like classical music. It's something which is ethereal. It's not something which you... The more, the less you can touch, the less you can... What's the word? Another word for touch? Tangible, that's the word. Yeah, the less tangible, the more ethereal, the more you are closer to a spiritual entity, the more you are closer to a spiritual world. So to me, I understand music, like the Gaon says, the music is something very special, right? It's the second Kodesh Torah, it's a gavaldic thing, music. Yeah, so to me, classical music is very good. What we have, the boom-ba-dee-boom, boom-ba-dee, you'll excuse me, I have to, yeah, the boom-ba-dee-boom, which we hear today, is not what I call anything spiritual.
It was in the kitchen.
I understand. Yes, but you're trying to get my accentuating my point. That was noise. Yeah, and the boom boom boom, which we hear today, in my opinion, is noise. But there is something very similar. I can imagine. I would love to have been a flamitzer. Show me will one day be in the Beis Hamikdash and you hear the Shiras Halavim together with music elevates. It elevates and elevates the nefesh. But music is still part of this world. It's still part of this world. It's something which is more ethereal, it's intangible, but it's part of this world, but it's nearer, it's getting nearer to the world of the spirit. And I would have loved to be there at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, it's a shame we'll be there once again. But we're looking for something nearest thing to infinite as opposed to finite. We live in a finite world, but the nefesh comes from an infinite world. And it's very hard to put the two together. Now, if you want to know something, what is one of the most refined entities, which is part of this world, but is intangible and ethereal, which is nearly part of the next world? You know what that is?
Wine.
What?
Wine.
What do you say?
Wine.
Wine. Yeah, but that's still very... I'll tell you something, interesting. I'll tell you something else. You wouldn't think of it. I don't expect you to guess this. Time. Time is definitely part of this world, as the Vilna Gaon says. But it's something which is completely and utterly intangible. Time is ethereal, right? It's close to something spiritual, but it's very much part of this world. The Vilna Gaon says, Bereshis Bora Lakim is a Shemaim Besoretz. Bereshis, which we all use translators at in the beginning, he says, with time. With time, God created this world. It's a Shemaim Besoretz. The Rebbein Shalom is above time. He's above time. He created this world with time. Bereshis Bora Lakim es a Shemaim Besoretz means, with time Hashem created this world. Yes? and with matter. Es ha-shamayim ve-sa'oretz is matter. So our world consists of time and matter. Matter is the physical part of this world. Time is the ethereal part, which is part of this world, but has already an affinity to something which is more ethereal and more intangible and more spiritual. But it's definitely part of this world. Says the Maral, and this is a free translation of the Maral into English. Listen to the Maral. The Maral says, time is associated with the material world. For time is dependent upon corporeality. Since time evolves through movement, and movement is within the realm of the physical world, one who delves into this will realize that time, movement, and the physical world have a commonality that underlies everything. Although it is ethereal, it's definitely part of the physical world. The Maral observes that time, our conception of time, has to do with our change of surroundings. Because there's a change of surroundings, we're able to differentiate between the minute before and the present and the future. So let me give an example. If I go from my kitchen to my dining room, what happens is that I've moved from one place to the other before I was here, and now I am there. So here and there, that's movement, enables me to differentiate between the before and the after. And even if I don't move, but somebody else moves, I remain stationary, and somebody else moves, but somebody, my children, go up to their bedroom before they were here, and now they are there. I can be stationary, but I can relate to time by the fact that they have moved. So a change of location helps me to relate to time. And even if there's nothing movement, even if there's nothing movement, yeah, my own body can relate to time. Because my own physiology has to do with time as well. There's a heartbeat, boom, 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 right? Yes? There's a heartbeat, there's blood pressure, there's breathing. My physiology has different seconds. I'm changing the whole time, my body's changing the whole time. And there's movement in my body, and that movement allows me to differentiate between 1 second before and 1 second after. When you take your blood pressure, you time it. Yeah. So the relationship, that's what the Maral says. There's a coordination, there's a co-relationship between time and movement. And it's my change of surroundings which allows me to relate to time. In other words, time, past, present, and future is defined by change around us. So in a way, man is confined by time. We are confined by time. But we are invariably pining for eternity. Not to be confined by time. You know, a man always strives to perpetuate his legacy. You know that. We're always that's what we want. We want to break out of time. We want to break out. We want to perpetuate the legacy of ourselves. We don't want to be confined. Time, although it's ethereal, is still confining us to this part of our world. We want to break out of our world and have a connection to eternity. And we might not always realize this, but you have to understand that my soul, my basmelech, is always trying to break out of the confines of time. The princess is constantly trying to reach above and out of time to get into eternity, because the Rebbeinu Shlom is above time, and the basmelech comes from an infinite world as opposed to a finite world. How do we do this? How can we connect to the infinite when we are confined to the finite? Says Rav Hutna, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that the mitzvahs were given to us as a tool to connect to the infinite. Safsa comes from the word safsa, means to connect, a companion. So you're connecting to something which is eternal. The mitzvahs are the connecting point. So although we do mitzvahs with our body, yes, we shake lulav, we eat matzahs, but what we're actually doing is, although our physical bodies are actually touching, are making a connection with something which is out of time, which is the Rabbeinu Shlomo's mitzvahs, that's how we connect with his Torah, his mitzvahs, and mitzvahs are part of Rabbeinu Shlomo's world, which is given us in this world, so we use our bodies to try and move into another world. That is what safsa, mitzvahs comes from the word safsa, says Rabbi Hutner. And the highest form of performing mitzvahs is with zrizus. The highest form of form mitzvahs is with reason. By doing mitzvahs, we show that we appreciate with reason. We show that we appreciate that we're confined by time and we're trying to break out of time. So we do with reason. We're rushing to do mitzvahs in order to break out of the confines. It's like a race against time. A mitzvah. The concept of a mitzvah is to break out of time and connect with the eternal. And that's why David HaMelech said, "Derech mitzvay secho orutz." I run after opportunities to fulfill your mitzvahs. I seek them with a passion, says the Sipporna. I pray that no obstacle will be put in my way. I want to do the mitzvah. I want to do it. I want to do it. I can't wait. And I don't want any obstacle put in my way because this is the way I connect with the eternal. I want to break the time barrier. That's my contact with infinity.
That's
my kind of reason. Yeah, they're more infinite. That's right. They're more spiritual. Thank you very much. I'm a kind. You know that. I've been a kind for many years. Yeah. Now, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is bechipozim. It's not just the historical fact that what happened was that we were rushed out of Mitzrayim and therefore we have matzah in order to commemorate the matzah which they had no time to eat. It's much more than that. Yetzias Mitzrayim had to be done bechipozim. Because the idea of bechipozim is the idea that we're breaking out from the finite into the infinite. And if these are the mitzvahs which define us as a nation, we're about to emerge from Mitzrayim, which is Meitzah. They are confined. Meitzah is borders. They are constrained. Mitzrayim are constrained by their physicality. We are called Netzach Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael is Yisrael are infinite. And therefore, by definition, we have to come out with reason, bechipozen, in order to break out. That's the, we are trying to show that we are not Mitzrayim. We are out of the Meitzah. We've emerged as a new nation. We're a new entity. And the entity is Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael does everything with reason in order to show symbolically that we are connecting with the infinite. That we're not confined by our physicality. Mitzrayim was confined to their, defined and confined to their physicality. We break out our physicality. And that's why the baking of matzahs, yeah, has to be done with speed. It's not just, you know, the idea of guarding it for chometz. Of course, the whole idea is that it shouldn't become chometz, because matzah has to be matzah, not chometz. That's, of course, a simple pshat. But we're against the duration. 18 minutes has a beginning and an end. What we're against is a duration. Duration means we're part of this physical world. Our matzah, our baking of matzahs, with reason, we're trying to get out of this physical world. 18 minutes is duration. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. That's time. We want to beat time, a race against time, and get that matzah into the oven before that. And that idea of matzah is inherent in all mitzvahs. This is the famous Chazal. Unbelievable. Shemartem esam matzahs. Om Rab Yashu al tikru shemartem esam matzahs elu shemartem esam mitzvahs. Kedero she'im machmitzen esam matzah kach ein machmitzen esam mitzvah. Elim bo mitzvah biyodcho asei oiso miyad. Do it immediately. Don't wait. Run to do the mitzvah. Now, it is, how can I put it? It's axiomatic. The Chazal don't play around with words. It says shemartem esam matzahs. Shematim es ha-matzahs means guard the matzahs from becoming chometz. The idea, there must be something with shematim es ha-matzahs which is inherent in every mitzvah. And the answer is yes, zrizus. Inherent in every mitzvah is the idea of making contact with the infinite. That's inherent in all mitzvahs. So shematim es ha-matzahs is a symbol of Klal Yisrael becoming the Am Hashem. The Netzach Yisrael, confined by time, we want to break out of the time barrier. We don't want to be physical, we want to transcend that time barrier and become spiritual and infinite. That's the idea of Shemata Mesai Mitzvahs, because those are the point of contact with the infinite. So now we can return to all our original questions. A. Why roasted? We have already said that Klal Yisrael came together as a nation. This was the first time that they came together as a nation. In Korban Pesach was symbolic to what Klal Yisrael have to be. It was a Korban Yochid with a communal idea. We are individuals who have a higher calling, a unity of purpose. God has pulled us out of the womb of Egypt to give us a new idea of making contact with the infinite. It's the Bas Melech emerging, right? And therefore we don't want to be constrained by our physicality. Says the Maral that roasting, the idea of roasting as opposed to cooking, yeah, cooking disintegrates. When you cook something in water, all the parts disintegrate. When you roast it, you extract the juices and it allows the thing to remain whole. Beautiful idea. So we now the Korban Pesach is symbolic of the individuals becoming one entity to serve the Rebbeinu Shem. We have a symbolic commonality, which is opposed to Meitzah, that's Netzach Yisrael. So Netzach Yisrael have to remain whole, as it were, and therefore you can't cook. Cook disintegrates, roasting keeps it together. And that's why, that's why you have to roast the whole thing whole. The whole thing has to be whole. You can't have parts. If we would break it up to parts and roast each one separately, then all that it means is Kal Yisrael is made up of separate entities, millions of separate people. But if you roast the common Pesach whole, it means that we're individuals with a common goal. So therefore you have to roast it whole. And of course, the very first mitzvah, which is given to us as a people, demands Zrizah, the very first mitzvah. And then we sit on the Seder night with our loins girded, with our shoes on our feet, with our staff in our hands, and we eat the matzah b'chipozin, ready to go out. Rabbeinu Shalom, this is the first mitzvah. This mitzvah is the first symbolic idea. It's the chalois, where Klal Yisrael was shown that we are a Netzach Yisrael, and that we're not in Egypt anymore. That when that meant we emerged from the womb and became a people with the Kol Pesach. We sit there ready to go. We're ready to serve Rabbeinu Shalom with Zrizus. So the whole thing is done b'chipozin b'zrizus. That's the idea. All these ideas can emerge from the humble shank bone, which sits, the Zroya, which sits at the edge or at the back of the Seder plate, but it has a lot to tell us. So may I tend to, may I wish you all a gewaldige yontif. There's so much to learn from the Seder. I just took the Zroya, but the more we prepare for Seder, the more we go into it, the better our Seder will be. God save the Minch, but Yamaru, may I all be yotif this mitzvah, where we see the Bias Goyal Seder, may I be.